Boker Tov, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Tezvav, and we're holding at the bottom of Yodalet Amud Beit, and we got up to five lines from the bottom, right towards the end, Toshma. So remember, we're still trying to figure out whether, in fact, the Beit Shammai's dinim, they actually carried out halacha l'maisa. So that would mean that in the case of Yibum, it would actually allow the Tzorah to be Mityabemet, which would have meant that there were a creation of Mamzerim, or whether they were careful not to, as we saw before, their Inyonim were Nogea, the Batkol, or, if you don't hold of the Batkol issue, the Inyon was Nogea, the question of Lotit Godedu. And the Gemara had decided that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, even if they were in different places, would all be considered to be one place. And of course, this is very nogea, and the Mesillas Yesharim brings this so beautifully, that the fact is that the Gemara says, remember when Rabbi Tarfon was Mischayev ben Avsho, Kedaya Yita Lechayev ben Avshecha, when he wasn't Chas v'Chalila being over on Divrei Beit Hillel, he was being Machmir. And Beit Hillel agrees you can lie down during Kriyat Shema, but because he was doing Bedavka like Beit Shammai, so therefore Avarta Divrei Beit Hillel is a very problematic sukkah. So, I mean, that doesn't seem to be nogea, the question about whether Beit Shammai also kedivreiem. I mean, there's nothing over there. There's nothing at all that is specifically going to cause damage to anybody else or to any other shita, other than the fact that you're making the point, which is no gea, the question perhaps of Lotit Godedu, specifically because of Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. But what the Ramchal says is basically an extension of the concept of the Gemara that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are considered to be, since all of Yisrael was no feed their psak, they're considered to be Shnei Batei Dinim B'Yirachas. And the idea was, says the Ramchal, he brings this in his definition of the Mid of Chassidut, which is the idea of going Lifnim Mishurat Adin, that the concept of Chassidut is Mechayev always a very, very careful checking out the issue in terms of its ultimate impact and not in terms of its current status, L'chumra or L'kula, because that's not the point. Since you're dealing with Chassidut, so therefore you have to look at the final results, says the Ramchal. And the final results will sometimes be very bad. And that would be a case over here. So he says you must always look up, and in his beautiful language, I mean, it was literally centuries out of his time in terms of the modernization of his language. You have to look, says he, at the toladot hanimshachot mehem, ulefi hatnaim hamitlavim lehem, lefi ha'et, lefi ha'chevra, lefi ha'nosei, lefi ha'makom. You hear how beautiful? So you always have to consider the impact. Ve'im ha'prisha tolid yoter kideshem shamayim v'nachat ruach lefanav min ha'maaseh. If not doing this great maaseh chasidus is going to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happier, k'vayochol, then doing it, so then yifrosh v'lo yaseh. O im maaseh echad b'marito hu tov, u'betoldotav, u'betina'av hu ra, u'maaseh acher is ra b'marito, but it's tov b'toldotav, hakol holech achar hachitum v'atolada, shehu pri ha'maasim be'emet, ve'ein advarim esurim, ela lelev mevin v'seichel nachon. Because obviously, yifshar leva'era pratim she'en lem keitz, v'ashem yiten chokhma mipiv da'at utfuna. And then he brings the ma'aseh of Rabbi Tarfon. And he says, the ma'aseh of Rabbi Tarfon bibrochas yochiach, she'ichmir la'atot k'bet shamay, v'amru lo k'daya yita l'chov ba'atzmecha she'avarta divri beit Hillel. I understand, afopi she'i machmir haya, v'zeh, she'inyan machloket beit shamay u'beit Hillel, haya inyan kaved li'Yisrael. Bipnei ha-machloket ha-gdola she-rafta b'nehem, v'sof-sof nigmar shalacha ke-Beit Hillel olam. Hine kiyuma shel Torah is this gmar din zeh yishaer b'chol tokef la'ad olom e-olamim, v'lo yechalash b'shum panim, shelo te'aseh ha-Torah chas v'chalila k'shtei Torot, ועכן לדעת המשנה הזאת יותר חסידות להחזיק כבית הלל אפילו לכולה מלהחמיר כבית שמי. וזה לנו לעיניים לראות איזה דרך לשכון אור באמת ובאמונה לעשות הישר בעיני השם. So incredibly powerful and clear. So this inyan that we're discussing over here comes down to the question of whether even Beit Shammai themselves were makbid not to do, according to the halacha. And according to some, this means, we're talking about Rishonim, this means, as Tosafos was in the Dayak, that even Beit Shammai themselves were makil against their halacha to be samech on Beis Hillel. Here we're just talking about whether they did or they created mamzerim. But then the other question would be, would they do chalitza? So in any event, we have a raya today from the following maaser of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Tashma, the Yomar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, explain to me, says he, hey halacha zo rovachat b'Yisrael, can you tell me how we landed up in this pickle? That if we're going to be nase kidivrei Beit Shammai, then the vlad is a mamzer, according to Beis Hillel? And if we go according to Beis Hillel, and we allow the marriage which of a woman who, according to Beit Shammai, is a Yevama Lashuk, so then Havlat Pagum, L'divrei Beit Shammai, so meaning Havlat Pagum means L'chora that the Vlad is Pasul L'Kuhuna, so she won't be able to marry into the Kuhuna. So that's a big Machlokas Rishonim. What we mean over here by Pagum, is it Pagum Mamash? Because it's a whole Shaila. The question of Chalalut is only created from Isurei Kuhuna specifically. So what exactly would the Pagima be? Is it a Derabonan that they were Gozer? Or is Pagum, the way some learn Pagum, and this is a very interesting idea because it introduces a new concept, that the din of Pagum is not necessarily Iser Kuhuna, but that it's a getter of Saruach. It's a inappropriate thing. Because it comes from Abia Asura. So it's like a Tipa Zera that was Nifsa, that was Saruach. This is the reason people are makbid on things that really you don't have to be makbid on the halacha, but they're makbid on inyonim like Benida and so on and so forth. There's a Pegima, and that Pegima is not necessarily an Iser. It's a Pegima in terms of the Yichus, we're calling it over here for Kuhuna. In any event, getting back to the idea, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was shattered by the fact that we should be between a rock and a hard place. Like, what are we going to do over here? Let's make a takana that all tzarot of erva should always get chalitza, never get yibum, and that way everybody will be happy. So that's what we're going to do. Okay? Lo yispiku l'gmorat ha-davar, ad sh'nitrafa ha-sha'a. They couldn't deal with this. They were going to take a vote on it and see whether they could actually make such a takana. And it didn't work out. The things happened, and there were political upheavals, and people had to run away, and the bezdin scattered, and so on. And therefore, there was no chance to do it, and it didn't happen. Okay, so they didn't have their opportunity. Apparently, so that min hashamayim, the halacha should be kavua, like the Rambam pointed out in the Mesillas Yesharim, should be kavua aliba de Beit Hillel, and we should not try to insert takanas that are necessary in order to make Beit Shammai happy. So we'll see later on that actually some learned that they did in the end later. They made such a takana. Anyway, Omar Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel, at the time, while they were still having the discussion before Nitrafa Hasha'as, Reb Shimon Gamliel said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you can't do that. Because mana aselem letzarot harishonot miata. What is going to happen to all of the tzarot erva that, according, we said up until now, that according to Beit Shammai, they are actually supposed to go ahead and get married to their Yavam, right? But what we're saying over here is that now you want to make a takana that is going to announce that no tzarot of an erva, even alibid Beit Shammai, were allowed to get married. So then that would mean that there's a new dirabbanan, and they would be koveya that these children are mamzerim. So how can you do such a thing? Now, if they never would do what they said they wanted to do, which would be to allow the tzarot to be mityabem, so what would Reb Shimon ben Gamliel be saying? What do you mean? Reb Yochanan ben Nuri should say, what b'nei tzarot? They never allowed it. So iyam Reb Shlomo asu. That explains why Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, what are we going to do now? Mana aseh. But if you're telling me that Beit Shammai never actually implemented their din, so then what do you mean? Ma naaseh. There's nothing to be naaseh. There's no problem. So apparently, Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that there were such maisim and Beit Shammai were matir, and therefore there would be a problem. Om Reb Nachman Yitzchak, that doesn't prove anything. This was the Reb Nachman Yitzchak we mentioned yesterday in passing. Now the issue over here is not about the children. It's about the tzara herself. That's what he was saying. Ma naaseh hochikoma. The tzarot of Beit Hillel. So the ones who married without chalitza, before Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's attempt to make this takana. So then, according to Beit Shammai, what are we going to do? Because Beit Shammai held that these tzarot have to do chalitza. So even though we said that Beit Shammai may have wanted they gave in, if you say that they were not also, and according to some, that would mean even for their own, which is the Diak of Tosfos, because otherwise it would mean that they would have had to go ahead and do Chalitza anyway. So LeBeit Shammai, what are we going to do now? If they went ahead and they allowed them to go ahead now and they would go and get married. So if you're telling me that Beit Shammai didn't do it, now we're going to be saying that no, they actually need Chalitza. So that would mean that she is asura and until she gets chalitza. So what do you want her to do if she's already married? Should they now do chalitza? So then the husbands are going to say, what does that mean? It means that I've been sleeping with this woman the whole time for years thinking that she's muteret. And now come along the chachomim, they say, no, actually she was asura and she did need chalitza. So then they'll become disgusting to their husbands. So you'll say, okay, so what can you do? V'chite melima asan. That's not true. Because you must take into consideration derachea darchinoa. V'chol netivotea shalom. You can't make a takana that ends up creating a situation where a woman becomes mos on her husband. That is ipso facto against the Torah. So that is an argument against your making such a takana. So therefore, if we would make such a takana, and then everybody that came for Beit Shammai said, oh my God, so now they're saying that we really were usher, and it was mamish usher to marry without chalitza, and it was and this was in the Yavama Lashuk, and so on. We can't do that. So tainas against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, so tainas Reb Shimon Gamliel. Okay, so fine, maybe that's not a raya, therefore. So let's continue. Tashma, let's see if we can bring another raya. And this is a raya, indeed, from Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Tarfon, we know he went around, we just had that mission, we discussed the Mesos Hasharim. We know that Rabbi Tarfon actually was makbid to be Oisik Beit Shammai. And in fact, Rabbi Tarfon says in a braita, you know, I really have such cheshek that matay tavot tzarat habat yadi ve'esa'ena. So Rashi understands the situation was that his brother was married to his daughter, in which case what he would be saying is, I can't wait till my brother kicks the bucket, and then I would have to go ahead and be and I would have to go ahead and I would marry the other woman that he's married to, who's married at the same time as my bat, because I want to establish the halacha that we go according to Beit Shammai. It's like, it's pretty tough lushing to say, I can't wait till my brother drops dead. I'm like, what kind of crazy mice is that? So because of that, many learned that that's not what he was saying. He was saying somebody else's Tzara Sabbat should happen, that they come and ask me the Shaila, and I would say, go ahead and marry. But others explain, look, he has a brother. Basically, they were the same age within a few years of each other. So he was saying, I hope that my brother dies first. Maybe his brother was 10 years older than him. I want to get the, well, what's so bad about that? But that I necessarily have to die before my brother. So I hope that it should end up with a situation in which I am the one that is faced with the halacha decision. And I would like to establish that the halacha is like Beit Shammai. That seems to be what he's saying. So you see from there that obviously Rabbi Tarfon was from Beit Shammai, actually held that you should go ahead and you should be miabim the tzara sabat. He says, I'll take her in marriage. Ema, no, he was saying exactly the opposite. Not Esa Ena. Asi Ena. I should make sure that she marries somebody else without Chalitza, meaning that I want to establish that the halacha is like Beit Hillel. What do you mean? But it says, I'm mamish to Evani, such cheshek. I mean, such cheshek means he wants to establish something that would be like, wow. I mean, what? Everybody does that. So what would be the big deal? He's not doing any big kiddush over here. Because if what we're saying is that even Beit Shammai was lo asuk divrei, that's what you're trying to say. No, really lo asuk divrei. I mean, he wants to establish that the halacha is like Beit Hillel. What do you mean establish? That's what is the halacha. Everybody's doing. So what's your big cheshek? That wouldn't mean anything. No, you don't understand. It wasn't the question of Beit Hillel or Beit Shammai that he was interested in establishing. He was upset about Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's attempt to make this takana. And this takana would, as we saw before, have ended up putting people into very delicate positions. And so because of that, he said, I want to make it clear that you do not need chalitza, and I would marry her off to somebody else to show that we do not think about this takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That was the point. So that was still an issue. Okay, so we still don't know. So we're still up in the air. Says the Gemara, okay, let me bring you another maisa to show you that actually Beit Shammai would do what Beit Shammai said they wanted to do. Tashma. Maaseh bibito shel Rebbe Gamliel. You know, midei pam, I just have to remind people about how painful it is to see only names. And ask you to, if it's possible, to please to be here to share your presence with everyone. I mean, we don't even have a minion of pictures. It's like there's a whole chisorin. Remember that even the halacha that Reb Moshe Paskin about being able to say Kaddish and being Yotzei Megillah and so on is only where you have a picture and there's a sense of presence. It's Mamish Nagia, the whole learning. It's not my own personal hang-up. It's something that if people want to share and they want to be together, then they have to be together. Would you walk into a shir and you'd put on a big shroud over your face, say, I'm only coming to shir, but nobody could see me? I mean, it's crazy. What kind of business is this? Please, wherever possible, you know, unless you're parading around in your birthday suit, come and be here. And if you are parading around in your birthday suit, then for God's sake, get up a little earlier and put on a pair of pajamas. but be here. Stubborn people.
The Kavod and Rebbe, we desperately miss Rebbe. And if
thank
Rebbe
you.
Would want a while, give Rebbe, Rebbe would give a love share.
Okay, but that's not, I understand. That'd be wonderful. I am bringing this Moshe Handel being sick with Corona. So we want him to know that we all wish him a refuah shlema.
We are all, not just me, we speak about this all the time. How we are sick. Missing Rebbe's presence.
Thank you so much.
Even with the pictures.
That is what? So what? You're arguing on Rebbe Moshe?
I'm begging Rebbe to come and give us a live shear now and again.
Yeah. If I give you a live shear, what would happen? I would catch Corona from Moshe Andel Chas V'Chalila, who's not here today because he has Corona. What's the matter with you? All right. Anyway, back to work. You look at that big N over there, you know? Who's the big N, I wonder? Okay. In my last thought, I try my best. Anyway, so it once happened that Rebbe Gamliel's daughter was married to a brother of his whose name was Abba. And she died. He died. And there were a chiyuv of yibum. So now that would mean that the daughter of Rebbe Gamliel, if he held of Beit Shammai, which we'll talk about in a moment, if he held a Beit Shammai, so then he would have to do Yibum with the Tzara. And that's exactly what Rabbi Gamliel did. So it must be that Rabbi Gamliel held that Beit Shammai would do what they were doing, and that's what was happening, and therefore he did it. Oh, come off it, man, says the Gemara. Rabbi Gamliel went like Beit Shammai. Rabbi Gamliel, who's a grandson of Hillel HaZaken, who's coming directly to be a Nasi because of his grandfather, Hillel HaZaken, he's going to go and he's going to basket like Beit Shammai. That's absurd. He wasn't Mitamidei Beit Shammai. He was coming from Hillel. So there was a whole different mice over there that you don't know about. And you're blabbing about it, thinking that you don't understand what happened. What happened over there is that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an islandess. And because of that, he was simply doing what the Mishnah said. That if it turns out, we'll see if the word turns out is necessary here, but that if, in the event that the daughter is an islandess, so then she's not married, or she doesn't fall to Yibam, that was, remember, Machlokas, which we're going to remind ourselves of in a moment, so then she doesn't pater her tzara, and therefore he was mechuyev because of the tzara. Even Ali b'de Beit Hillel has nothing to do with Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. How can that be true, says the Gemara? Why don't you keep reading the Braita? You'll see that that's not true. Because the Braita continues on to say, Acherim omrim, there's other people who say, that Bito Rabbi Gamliel Ailonit Aita. That means that the Tanakama was saying that Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and he was miyabim the tzoras habat, even though she wasn't an islandess, which must have meant that he was doing it Aliba de Beit Shammai. How else do you explain it? What's the difference between the original of Tanakama and the Acherim? Answers the Gemara, no. Well, you really think that somebody was saying that he's going like Beit Shammai? Nonsense. The difference is whether she turned out to be an Ilonite or whether she was always an Ilonite. So what he says over here, Bitosh Rabbi Gamliel, Ilonite Haita, that would be the question of, do you have to say that there was no Kiddushin? And that means he didn't know about it, so that when she turned out to be an Ilonite, the marriage was annulled because of Mekach Tot. Or is it even if she was an Ilonite and it was known that she was an Ilonite, Ilonite Haita from the beginning, that nonetheless, she wouldn't fall to Yibum? That was the Shaila that we had before. Whether it's the difference between Hikirba the Lohi Kirba that we discuss, according to the Tanakama, the Erva is going to pater the Yibam if she's an islandess. And in that case, where she turned out to be an islandess, so then we cancel the marriage. Why? Because it's a Mekachtos. But if he knew, so then there would not be a Ptur. She would have fallen to Yibam. Ashenkein. The Echerim hold like the Gemara that we said before, that even if we know that she's an islandess, she doesn't pater. Because the fact is that she was not nimtza islandess, as he says, haisa islandess. She was always an islandess all along. But remember that we said that since an islandess is not nofelet liyibum, so therefore, this was a machlokas we had before. So since she's not nofelas of the Yibum, she doesn't pater the tzara because she wasn't, any, there was no chiyuv of Yibum, even though she was married to that brother, but she's not going to pater the tzara because she's not included in that pasuk of litzra. Exactly. That may be one approach. You know what? I'll tell you another approach. Or, vibay tema, maybe the difference between the Tanakam and the Acherim is like this, that where the brother of Rabbi Gamliel had been kones ula besof giresh ike benayim. So he was married to both of them for a bit, right? And then he ended up divorcing one of them. That's how the Tanakhama understood it. So he ended up divorcing the erva to Rabbi Gamliel, who was his daughter. So according to the Tanakhama, since she wasn't married at the time that he died and she was the fellas liyibon, so therefore, he went ahead and he took the tzara, because she's not a tzara's erva. Masha ein kein, the acherim hold, like the Mandi Omar that we had before, that nisu'im harishonim apili. And that if there was any time at which the brother would have been married together to both the bat and the tzara, then that means that she was already defined as a tzara's erva because of the initial zika that is chal at the beginning of the marriage. This was the machlokas that we had before. Is it the Nisuim HaRishonim that are Mapilim, or is it only Mita that's Mapele? That was the nafkamina between them. So the Acherim say, no, the Maisa must have been that actually, because to say that he divorced her, that's not good enough, because they were married together for a bit. Therefore, I have to come on to the fact that she was an islandess. That's the point. Mashenka, Tanakama didn't have to hold of the islandess at all. Ibai's Ema, or could be another machlokas. Maybe the machlokas is whether yesh t'nai bivia ikabinayo. Somebody makes a t'nai that I'm marrying you on condition that you don't have mumin, you don't have nedarim, whatever. And he then proceeds to live with this wife that he took as man and wife. And then it turns out that she does have nedarim, or she does have mumin. So that's a machlokas. Does a t'nai, is a t'nai still considered to be in effect, even though the guy ended up saying, okay, I'm going to treat her as a wife? Or do we say once he is ready to be intimate with her and treat her as a wife, he's basically saying, what the heck, she's good enough. And he's being mevater on the t'nai. And therefore now they would be fully married anyway. So that was the question, that over there, the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel had been married with Tnaim that were not Mekuyamim. So according to the Tanakama, it's still a Mekachtos, even if they've been living together. And because of that, he was never married to the daughter. Mashenke and the Acherim learned, no, that's not the case. Once he was already living with her as a wife, so then it means he was Mekabler for whatever she is. And therefore, we have to come on to the fact that it's Dafka that she was an islandess. Okay, so now the question is whether we can prove that Beit Shammai did not go Alibet Beit Hillel. I mean, you were saying that he was ready to be make Alibet Alibet Beit Hillel. Motziv Remisharsha. We had this, when we were discussing in Rosh Hashanah, we had this whole sugya. There was a Maisa with Rabbi Akiva who picked an Esrog on the first day of Shvat, and he wasn't sure what to do. Should he take off? This was a second year that was going into the third year. So now the question is, if Echad Bishvat, which is the Dinali B'Beit Shammai, is the new year, so then that means that he should be taking off Maiser Ani. And if Tu Bishvat is the new year, then if he picked the Esrog on the first day of Shvat, or up until Tu Bishvat, then it was still a Maiser Sheni year. And he took off both of them. V'nag bo shnei isurin, Echad G'divrei Beit Shammai, v'Echad G'divrei Beit Hillel. Shema Mina Osu. So you see from here that apparently Beit Shammai was makbid not to accept the kulas of Beit Hillel, and that they would insist on doing according to what they held. Why else was Rabbi Akiva Cheshish for their halach, if you're telling me that they themselves gave in to Beit Hillel in order to avoid this problem of lotus go to do again, mashma afilu lekula. No, no, no. Remember we said back in Rosh Hashanah, it's not that Rabbi Akiva was cheshish for Beit Shammai. Rabbi Akiva was not sure which shita had said what, whether it was Beit Hillel who had said Rishon Lishvat, or whether it was Beit Shammai who had said Rishon Lishvat. That was the question. So Rabbi Akiva Gemara is topic lo yada Beit Hillel be'echad b'shvat amur o b'chamisha asar b'shvat amur. Because of that, he was just trying to do the halacha libna Beit Hillel, except that he had forgotten who said what. Okay, so let me show you another raya, Masiv Mar Sutra. Take a look at the Mishnah in Sukkah. Remember that it once happened that Shammai Hazaken's daughter-in-law had a baby, and he was picheta tamaziva. He broke down the roof over her bed, and he put schach over the bed because of the baby. Because he held that you're mechuyev, according to us, you're not mechuyev until he's of the gil of chinuch, that is enot tzarech le'ima. But Shammai held over there that you're chayev even if he's tzorech le'imai. So therefore, he went ahead and tore down the roof. Shema mina, he put up obviously schach on the roof. So shema mina asu. So you see that Shammai was ready to do crazy things even for his shita. Now, this is a little bit weird, right? Because, I mean, basically, Shammai is also made lechera that the child has to be able to at least be aware, right? So even though he's a katan tzarich leimai, but at least he has to be shayach for chinuch. One would think. I mean, this is similar to the idea that as long as there's some element of chinuch, so Beit Shammai held, remember that we had back in Chagiga, even if the katan can't be Ola Baraglov, he's also chayav. We also had the story about Shammai not wanting to give any food to the child on Yom Kippur. But anyway, it doesn't make any sense that it should be a chiyuv of chinuch. So some learn the Ritva entertains the notion that maybe the point over here was not that he did it for that purpose, but that he did it for teshvu ke'in taduru. So that since normally when a person lives, he lives with his family around him, so therefore he wanted them together in the sukkah. Okay, there's a lot of problems with that, and the Ritva himself gives up on it because it doesn't tie into what we're trying to say over here to prove that Beit Shammai did because his shita. But there's a beautiful diak, which is like the Marshal, in which it says over here, Bishvil Katan. It doesn't say Bishvil HaKatan, which is what normally it would say. Not only that, it doesn't even say she had a baby boy. It said she had a baby. And then it says that he went ahead and he broke open the roof for a child, for a male child who was a katan. So therefore, says the Marshal, the point is that she had a baby and therefore she could not move out. So she had to be where she was. And they brought her other kids who were used to being with mommy. So they brought the child who was already maybe old enough for chinuch, just he still needed his mommy, and according to Beit Shammai, that doesn't pater him for chinuch. For that child, they were pichet et amaziva. That makes a little bit more sense. Anyway, but says the Gemara, yes, but that doesn't prove anything. Because remember that we said that the only time we have this chashash of being noyek ishtei torot is where it looks like you're being noyek ishtei torot. But over there, our anthropologist that would have come down to see whether there are different religions, he would have concluded in the basis of a skylight that there's a, we're doing it bedavka for a sukkah? Or would he have said, gosh, what a nice thing to treat his daughter-in-law to some extra fresh air. Okay, so that's, I mean, there's nothing about what he did that shows that it's dafka for chinuch. So So the air conditioning broke down, and he busted open the roof to make a skylight for her. What's the big deal? Oh, that's how it would have been looked. Masi Mar Sutra. Okay, so another riot that Beit Shammai did not do the kulas of Beit Hillel. Maisa b'shoket yehu, shaita b'Yerushalayim. I see Barnea's getting all ready over here. Yep, there we go. I know my customers. So there was a maisa in the shoket yehu. The shoket yehu was a hollowed out rock that held water, but did not hold arboim sot. And there used to be water that was coming in to shoket yehu. And it's a question of whether this was it was connected to a Mayan. That's a big shaila. Rashi claims that there was a Mayan nearby. Anyway, but since it was small and didn't hold up Oimsa, so it had the standard kind of hashaka, which is kishvoferet hanot. And everybody used to use that. V'chol ta'arot shayobu Yerushalayim nasim al-gaba. You had a tame dish, you would use shoket yehu as a mikveh, apparently, because it's very convenient to have a kelim mikveh that's not big and that your wife isn't going to kill you when you drop the silverware in. So they use shoket yehu. Fine. Comes along Beit Shammai, and he smashed the wall between the mikveh and shoket yehu because Beit Shammai's shita is that you do not have hashaka unless you have rov. So the rove of the mechitza between the two mikvahot has to be broken. And therefore, he broke it. Even though in the Mishnah and mikvahot it says, as we've had ourselves many times, Irov mikvahot, kishvoferet hanod, ba'oviyahu, b'chalala, which is kishtei etzpaot, chozrot l'mekoman, it's just as big as two fingers that are able to turn round and round in that hole. And that's enough. So apparently, Beit Shammai held, well, I'm not going to be satisfied with Beit Hillel's mikvah. I am going to make this a kosher mikvah according to my shita. So you see that they definitely were not making like Beit Hillel, and they insisted on having it their way. So what's the explanation of those who claim that he didn't do? Same thing we said before. The anthropologist from Mars, does he say that the reason that Beit Shammai did this was because he needed to have the Shoket Yehu be Mechuber with Rove? Or was it perhaps because he didn't feel there was enough water there? So Haroel Merlach Fushimayu de Kovid. You know, he was frustrated that the water flow was so slow, so he opened it up for more water. Who's going to know this esoteric fact that according to him, Shwaferet Hanod is insufficient? Furthermore, there were rumors that at that place, there was a famous archaeologist at that time whose name was one of the chief of the Kayanim, Maisa Bebarnea HaKayin. And he was made there, and we have the schus of actually getting the direct report from the past.
First, I want to remind Rebbe that we took silver and very delicate things there, and somebody panicked in the water and tackled me, and Rebbe watched it all wash away and had to face the neighbor, right? I won't mention who it was, but remember Santa Cruz?
Oh, it's Santa Cruz, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm wondering, why is it Shofet Yehu? Yehu is in the north, in Yisrael. Why is it Yerushalayim? I see the words of Rashi, that Kaleach Menahar, what did Yehu do? He bursts on the scene from remote Gilad, and it says, it looks like that he's the Mishugah. He's driving like Yehu the Mishugah. So this water bursting through, maybe is a Yehu accident.
That does not sound like our famous archaeologist. It sounds like our friend Barnea.
It's a bit smarter, but it's a nice one.
It's very cute. Okay. Anyway, so there we don't have a riot. Says the Gemara, I'm going to prove to you once and for all that Beit Shammai did do the way they said they wanted to do. Tashma, the Omer of Elizabeth Tzadok. I used to go to the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan HaChorani, and there I saw that he was sitting there eating mamish, but such anias, it was a shnei batzoret, and everything was dried out, and all that he had was some dried out bread and a little bit of salt, and there he was, that's what he was living off of, Rabbi Yochanan HaChorani. So I came, and I told my father, you should know that my Rebbe is sitting there and he has nothing to eat. So my father said to me, okay, take him these zeitim. Take him these olives. So I brought him this bottle of olives, and he looked at the olives and he saw that the olives were wet. So he says to me, oh, thank you so much. I don't eat olives. Now, the truth is, he would love to eat those olives. But since Beit Shammai Shita was that olives that are dripping mohal, it's not considered to be oil. And therefore, it's not one of the Sheva Mashkin. It's only oil if you squeeze it. But what it leaks out is called mohal. Tosis points out that there are three dargas of mohal. And we've seen this sugya when thank God the big Enna showed up here. But we have that mohal, remember about the question about Betzira of olives in plastic baskets and so on. So there's a lot of steers. That's why Tosis has to come up with the particular mohal that they had over here. But that Beit Shammai held that mohal is not makshel kabel tuma, right? Now, Rabbi Yochanan HaKorani is from Beit Hillel. He was not going to go like Rabbi Tzadok. So now he's got a problem. He sees that the olives are wet, which means that they've been exposed to the mohal and that they did not do what a Beit Hillel would have done, which is to make holes in the bottom of the basket or the bottle so that the mohal can drop out. And then even if they're wet, it wouldn't make any difference because the din is that it's ki yutan dumya te ki yitain, remember. And if you make a hole in the bottom, then you obviously don't want to keep the mohal around. But he sees this is in a bottle in which there's no way for the mohal to escape. So he says, oh my God. So they're sending me apparently olives that are mukshel kabel tuma. So then maybe they weren't shemir because they held it was not able to be mekabel tuma. But according to me, it is mekabel tuma. But he didn't want to say, this is not kosher according to me. Shove it, man. Instead, he said very nicely, I don't eat olives, which all of the Poskim mention that, you see, if something according to you isn't kosher, don't say, I don't hold this as kosher. Don't say, I don't eat this extra. Say, I don't eat olives. Anyway, so I went back and I told my father that Rabbi Yochanan says he doesn't eat olives. Amarle, yeah, bull. I'll tell you. Go back and tell him that these olives were collected in a chavit nekuva, and that there was bedafka, there was a hole in it, so that all of the mua would fall out. The only reason that they're damp is because there was so much sedimentation or leaves that they blocked the holes. But the very fact that we made those holes showed that we didn't want it to be wet. And therefore, they wouldn't have become mukshar l'kabel tumah, because you need kiyutan, which is written kiyitein mayim al zera. And in this case, it was not put with our das. And therefore, it used to have holes. Elash is tamuash marim. So the sediments, they stuffed up the hole. But don't worry, we were very careful with the aliba debate hillel. Now, the reason that he said this is just to make it clear, is you have to know the halach of it's none. This is the Mishnah in Idyos, that chavish al zeitim that are megugalim. So you have a whole barrelful of zeitim that have become already soft and they were oozing. That's muhal. So Beit Shammai omrim ain't tzrichim l'nakev. So according to Beit Shammai, it does not need a hole. Ubeit Hillel omrim tzrichav l'nakev. Umodim, but Beit Hillel is also modim, that if you made nikavim and then they got stuffed up with sedimentation, that then it's not going to be makshel kabel tumah. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So now, even though Reb Tzadok was a famous Talmid of Shammai, ko ma'asav lo asu ela alpi divrei Beit Hillel. So since Reb Tzadok was a Talmid, so Reb Yochanan Achorani assumed that he was noyeg like Beit Shammai. L'maisa Reb Tzadok was careful. He wanted to be Yotzah Filo Liba to Beit Hillel. So now look, if you're going to tell me that Beit Shammai actually would have been noyeg like their halacha and they would not have made holes, so that's a big chiddush to say, wow, Rabbi Tarfon, who was a big Talmud of Beit Shammai, nonetheless, he wanted to be careful that even Talmidim of Beit Hillel, like Rabbi Yochanan Achorani, would be able to eat his olives. So then you're telling me something, that he always was machmer. But if you're telling me even Beit Shammai in general would be machmer, so what's the chiddush? I mean, everybody you're saying would have done that. And why was Rabbi Yochanan Achorani worried about it? So this proves that Beit Shammai indeed were also kedivrayim. And I'll bring you another raya. Toshma, here's another raya that they were also. They asked Rabbi Yoshua, tell me, what's the din of Tzarat Habat? He said, look, it's a machloket Beit Shammai v'Beit Hillel. Yeah, well, we sort of know that, but who's the halacha like? So Rabbi Yoshua said, are you crazy? You want me to get myself knocked off? I don't give piskei halachas where I'm going to get killed. B'pneimate machlisim roshi ben shnei harim gedolim. But you put my head between two mountains that are moving in this earthquake, and I'm supposed to be happy with this. You've got these two separate groups of Klal Yisrael, Ben Beit Shammai, Ben Beit Hillel, and I should express an opinion. I'm worried that they might crush my skull. I mean, all I need to do is to paskin like Beit Hillel, you know? And then what happens? I would be saying that all of the Tzarat Habat are mamzerim, and that army of mamzerim will soon be at my door with hatchets and torches, and I'm a dead man. You ain't getting me to say nothing. Even if the internet's down, I ain't saying nothing. So therefore, you see, but I can tell you one thing. What I can tell you is, now this we're going to talk about, what is this supposed to mean? I can tell you one thing, that there were two very important mishpachot in Yerushalayim. One was them was called the Mishpachat Beit Tzvoim Ben Achmai, and the other was Beit Kofai Ben Mikoshesh. They were all children of a Tzorot that had married without getting Chalitza, which is what Beis Hillel holds. And they had Kohanim Gedolim that were on the Mizbeach. And let me ask you something. If the din would be that Beit Shammai held that these were pasul, do you think that Beit Shammai would have allowed them to be serving as Kohanim on the Mizbeach? Remember what happened even when Hillel HaZaken brought in his korban, and they ask him, what kind of korban is this? And he's scared to death, and he's saying, and you know, the korban is kishkesh b'znava, pretend, you know, no, I'm not an oila, no. See? Me girl. Anyway, so, Hillel HaZaken was scared because they were going to stop him. Believe me, if you tried to set up a Kohen Gadol who is pasul according to Beit Shammai, it wouldn't last very long. So I can tell you that the Bunim were Kohanim Gedolim. Anyway, so we'll talk about that in a moment. But Iyamit Bishlama Atsu, if you're going to tell me that there really were these Mamzerim that are going to come and make an army of Mamzerim and go fight in the Ukraine and take in Rabbi Yoshua, and they're going to, they call them check-ins over there. So Haini Tekoran Bit Yareani. That's why he said, are you kidding? They'll kill me. He meant seriously, they'll kill me because I'm calling them all Mamzerim. But if Beit Shammai anyway didn't do according to what they agreed, that Lamaisa we should go like Beit Hillel, so what's he afraid of? Lamaisa, none of them would have gone to Yibam. There wouldn't have been any Mamzerim. And it seems clear from Rabbi Yoshua, who says, I'm going to get killed, that there was an army of Mamzerim who could only have come about because Beit Shammai were Asur Kedivrayim. Wait a minute. Even if they were Asur Kedivrayim, he's not calling them Mamzerim, because Rabbi Yoshua held that only Chai Ve'Mises Bezdin are Mamzerim. So when the Mamzerim army comes around and speaks in Shakespearean tones about, let's say it for the Mamzerim, he comes out on his porch and he says, I celebrate all of your yichus since you only came from a Tzaras Abbas, which is an Isser Karas, and not an Isser Misa. None of you are Mamzerim. Luchu and marry whoever you wish. So why would they kill him? Ha'amar Rabbi Yoshua ein Mamzer elam yichayve mitot beit din. So even according to him himself, there wouldn't be Mamzeris. So why would they come and kill him? Oh, come on, man. So he's not calling them a Mamzer. So he's calling them like sort of a Mamzer, just up to a Mamzer. I mean, what's he telling? He's saying you're not a Mamzer, but you're definitely a Pogum, and you would be posel for the Kahuna. And if any of these people are women, they wouldn't be allowed to marry a Kohen. They wouldn't allow to eat Truma because they would be psulis. Question of the psul. Big discussion over here about what psul being, is it a psul of chalolos, or would pasul a ben as a chalol, or is it only a din because this woman becomes a zayna? We'll talk about later on about the kavachomer me'amon, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But anyway, so that's bad enough. He figures if it's not going to be an army of mamzerim, it could still be an army of very angry kohanim. And that's bad enough. I mean, 10 kohanim are 1,000 mamzerim. Man. So that, you know, they fight. Is Amcha Kimirivei Kohen. Anyway, what's it going to start up? How do I know it's a pogrom? Because it's a kavachomer from the din of an amona. And amona to in Kohen Gadol, it says beferish in the pasuk that the amona to the Kohen Gadol is asura, and it says v'lo yichalel zaro. Right? That's the amona lo yikach v'lo yichalel zaro. So if an amona to in Kohen Gadol destroys the din of her son to be a Kohen, and any surah no egg bakol, I mean, this is one person in the whole world that this almana is a surah to. Only to a Kohen Gadol. So it's a very limited application, Isser. And nonetheless, it creates chalolos on the son, and therefore certainly on the daughter, that the daughter is posel. So then, this case of a tzaras erava, which is shava bakol, everyone is also a tzaras erava. Obviously, the child is going to be posel. Fine. Wait a minute. Could you just explain to me something? They ask Rabbi Yoshua a question about what is the din, and he says, but I can tell you about two families. That has to do with the children of Tzaras. We didn't ask you what the din is of the children of Tzaras. We asked you what the din is of Tzaras. So what are you bringing in? A total non sequitur. Kabominate sarot, v'kaparshilu b'nei tzarot? No. The truth is that they had asked him two issues. They asked him, what's the din of tzarot? And then they asked him, if you're going to tell me that the din of tzarot is kibet hillel, and that they are aser, what would happen if they were b'nei tzarot of Beit Shammai? What would Beit Hillel say that they are vis-a-vis the kuhuna? What would be the din? And that, I mean, is it important? L'may naf kamina? I mean, once we're going to, if he would say the halacha is kibet hillel, then we're not going to have tzoros like Beit Shammai, no? No, I'll tell you, because L'maysa, as Tosis points out, there was an actual maysa where Rabbi Yoshua was asked to paskin a question of a Vlad Marzer Grushato. So what would be the din? A Marzer Grushato is an Iser Lav, and he has children. Are children who would be born from a Marzer Grushato, which is an Iser Lav and not an Iser Kores, would they be Paso Mina Kuhuna? So that was the question, and he wanted to know what the din would be in that case. So therefore, they asked what would be the din here, which is basically the same question. What's the question? Do we say the Kal V'chomer from Amon El Kohen Gadol? Do we say, Uma Amon El Kohen Gadol She'eni Surah Shava B'kol? B'na Pagum Zo She'i Surah Shava B'kol in which case it would apply also for sure to a Marzer Grushasai, which is usher to anybody. Or they wanted to know, maybe it's not a good Kal V'chomer, because Mal Almana, an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, since she sleeps with an Iser Kuhuna, so she becomes a Chalala, and he Atzma Mitchalelet. Masha Einkein, in this case, the Marzer Grushato, there would not be a din of halala, because the halacha of halala is only from an Iser Kuhuna. But if stam, she sleeps with somebody where there's stam a normal lav, so then that's not so poshut that she's going to be asura. So maybe that's why we treat the amana differently. So he answered both questions. He said to them, your first question I can't answer. It's a sakonis nefashis. Well, I'm going to tell you what the din is and then have this army of mamzerim or kohanim come showing up. That I'm not going to do. Tzarot mit yareyani, right? As far as your other question about b'nei tzarot, I can tell you that halacha l'maisa, they made kohanim gedolim, and we see that Beit Shammai did not do anything about it. So apparently they were mekabel that it's not a pegam to atzer and the kuhuna, and therefore the kohen gadol was not puzzled. Okay, and now I'm going to bring you a final proof. Toshma, bimei Rabbi Dosef ben Hurkanes, hutra tzarat habat la'achim. They actually paskened like Beit Shammai, and in those days, people started actually marrying a tzaras habat. Shma mina asu, shma mina. From there, we see absolutely clear that, yes, Shammai was noheg, and it was halacha l'maisa, paskin by Rabbi Dosef ben Hurkanes, which we'll see tomorrow, was actually his brother, but we'll talk about that amazing story tomorrow about the famous Bechor Satan that you got to watch out, but we'll get there, Bezrat Hashem. Meanwhile, I wish you b'surot tovot and a day of Ashiyas Amecha, uvarech esnach al asecha.